Well, everybody, welcome to episode 189 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, is brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist, Marvin Pomeranz. We continue to tell his story through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, we're going to talk some Ankeny Centennial baseball here in just a little bit, but right now my first guest is a realtor at Coldwell Banker, and he's been on the podcast a few times before. He's Tom Butler. Tom, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
It's great to be back. Thanks.
Hey, you bet. Well, how was your holiday?
It was awesome. We got to spend some time with family and dodge the rain and see some fireworks. It was a good time.
Sounds like a good time. Yeah, we kind of took it easy on the 4th. We'd done a lot the rest of the weekend, so by Monday we were kind of wiped out. But that was all right. You kind of need a day of rest once in a while.
That's good.
Well, I know you had the good guys thing this weekend, too. How was that?
Yeah, it was great. It's in the 90s. It's super hot and exhausting to be there. It was a little bit cooler, a little bit of a breeze. It's just really, really well attended with a lot of cars, and it was a lot of fun. Got to spend some time with a buddy of mine on the road course there, and all the things that go on good guys, it's always a good time.
Well, I know our Ankeny Fanatic photographer, Drew Wolf, was down there. I don't know if you know him or not.
But, oh, I know Drew.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he always says it's a good time. So did you see a lot of foot traffic down there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, lots of people, lots of cars. It was a good time.
Well, before we get to our main topic for today, I should mention that Coldwell Banker has renewed their contract with Ankeny Fanatic, and they're going to be staying on as the sponsor of the podcast for the foreseeable future. So I want to thank you, Tom, and Rachel, and everybody else over there at Coldwell Banker. We really appreciate the support from all you guys.
Yeah, you bet. You have a great product here. It's always fun to come spend time with you.
You bet. Well, I guess the main thing we want to talk about today is the home show that's coming up. So when is that going to be this year?
Yeah, it starts this weekend, actually, Saturday the 9th at 10 in the morning, and then it goes for those 3 weekends in July.
All right. Well, for people who are interested in going there, I mean, what do they need to know about it?
Well, first of all, where it's at.
Yeah.
It's up at Kimberly Estate, which is on the northeast side of Ankeny. If you just take Delaware north of 36th Street, you'll run right into it. It's going to be one of the bigger home shows that we've had, if not the biggest. And Kimberly Development is a builder that I represent up there. Has not been in the home show for a few years, and they're back in a big way. They've got 2 homes that they're going to be highlighting there, as well as being the developer for the home show. They've got a custom home that they're building that is just a gigantic ranch style home that's got over 3,800 square foot of finish on the main level.
Wow.
Which is enormous. It's got a swimming pool, it's got a pet grooming station, it's got everything you can imagine. That home's finished to more of a traditional type of finish, but then they've also got a modern, very out of the box story and a half that they're building as a spec home. That's going to be on the corner that I think people are really going to enjoy.
Well, what are the hours going to be for this again?
Each day is a little bit different. On Saturday, if you come out, it's going to be from 10 to 9, and Sunday, it'll be 10 to 8.
All right. You said this goes on for a few weekends?
3 weekends, yeah.
All right. Well, if people need to get a hold of you to maybe look at any of these properties, not just during the home show, but at other times of the week, or you know, what's the best way for people to get a hold of you?
Yeah, it's easy to remember. My email is just my name, tom@tombutler.com, or my cell phone number is always a good way, and that's 515-491-1561.
All right. Well, is there anything else that people need to know, you know, about the home show?
No, I think that's about it. Just come on out, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, it's pretty close to my neighborhood, so yeah, maybe I'll have to come over there and check it out.
Come on over and see us.
All right, well, thanks a lot, Tom, for coming in. Appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks.
All right, listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade, or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office. Call 515-964-5952 or visit Gershman.com to get pre-approved today. Well, my next guest is the head coach of the fifth-ranked Ankeny Centennial baseball team, and he has guided the Jaguars to a 23-13 record this season. His team will open postseason play later this week. He is Mark High. Mark, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having us here.
Hey, you bet. Well, congratulations on an outstanding season thus far. Before we look ahead to the postseason, I just wanted to recap the regular season a little bit. You guys were ranked fourth in the preseason rankings, but then you got off to a little bit of a slow start. You had a 7-9 record at one point, and you fell out of the rankings. You know, do you think it just took a little while for this team to come together?
Yeah, young team, and, you know, they work extremely hard, and I think you know, it's kind of a different preseason this year, a little shorter than what we've normally had. And, you know, we had some track guys that weren't with us the first few games. And it just took a little bit of time. And I think they've really gelled and you know, their hard work has really, really paid off as the season's gone on.
Well, we're going to talk to one of those track guys here in a little bit. But after your team lost a pair of games to West Delaware and Cedar Rapids Kennedy on June 11th in Cedar Rapids, you bounced back with a doubleheader sweep over Ames 2 days later, and that ignited a 12-game winning streak that also included sweeps over Marshalltown, Mason City, Fort Dodge, and Waukee Northwest. And that surge allowed you guys to climb to the top of the CIML Iowa Conference standings, and you were right in the thick of the league race down the stretch. Now, during that winning streak, you outscored your opponents by a 115-22 margin, and you had six run rule victories. I mean, you guys weren't just winning during that stretch. I mean, you're really dominating, weren't you?
We have some really talented hitters and really good athletes. You know, when they start scoring runs, sometimes they can score runs in bunches.
Well, the conference race was eventually decided on Thursday at Centennial, where you guys posted a 5-4 victory over Ankeny in the first game of a doubleheader, and that snapped an 8-game losing skid to the Hawks. Your team took a 5-3 lead into the seventh inning of the nightcap, and it looked like you might get a sweep, but then the Hawks rallied for a 7-5 win, and that allowed them to clinch their second straight conference title. Now, I know that wasn't the outcome that you wanted, but, you know, those are just a couple of great games that really could have gone either way, couldn't they?
Yeah, you know, both those ball clubs are very, very talented, loaded with just great baseball players, and it was, you know, not so fun to watch from dugout, but I'm sure from the stands it was great baseball to watch. And you know, both teams played very hard, and just didn't come out the way that we wanted to, but you know, that's baseball, and you know, we rebounded, and the guys are playing well again.
Well, of course, you guys had lost an earlier doubleheader to Ankeny, but both those games were close as well. I mean, it just shows that those two teams are pretty evenly matched, aren't they?
Yeah, I hope we meet up again, because we both be in the state tournament, so I hope we have that opportunity.
Well, that'd be fun. Well, you mentioned that you guys rebounded. You guys then split a doubleheader on Saturday against Sioux City North, and the highlight there came in the second game, where Ian McGay tossed a no-hitter as your team posted a 17-0 victory in four innings, and that salvaged a split of the twin bill. And I didn't get a chance to talk to you over the weekend, Mark, but that must have been a heck of a performance by Ian.
Yeah, Ian's done a great job for us all year, and he was just unhittable, obviously, and he had all his pitches working and located very, very well. So, you know, very, very proud of him and how hard he's, you know, put in the off season, and it's really showing.
Well, that performance just shows how deep your pitching staff has been this year, because, you know, Ian hasn't even been one of your primary starters. I'm sure you're now in the process of lining up your pitchers for the postseason, and boy, you have a lot of different options that you can go to. Lincoln Lacey has a 5-0 record with a 1.98 ERA, and he already has some postseason experience. He threw five strong innings in last year's game against Des Moines Roosevelt in the sub-state quarterfinal. Easton Pratt has a 5-1 mark with a 2.68 ERA, and he leads the team with 44 strikeouts, and Joey Oakey is 2-3 with a 2.16 ERA, and he's coming off an 8-strikeout performance, you know, in his no decision against Ankeny last week. You know, it's pretty impressive that two of your top pitchers from last year, Damon Churchman and Kyle Miller, have combined for only two appearances on the mound this season. But, you know, you really haven't needed them, have you?
No, we have a lot of young kids, and you know, we have some young kids in the program too that have very strong arms and a lot of composure on the mound. And you know, that's the key. You know, Sean Stewart, I think if you mention him, he's in there too, throwing very, very well. So a lot of young guys with a lot of really good innings, quality innings.
Well, on Tuesday, you guys traveled up to Mason City, and you were supposed to close out the regular season with a doubleheader against the Riverhawks, but you only got about four innings in before the twin bill was canceled due to rain. Now, I know Mason City is a team that you could potentially see again next week in the sub-state tournament, so I don't know if that had an effect at all on how you were going to approach that doubleheader in terms of what pitchers you used, or if you were maybe looking to get some of your guys a few innings here and there, you know, as a tune-up for the postseason. So did the cancellation, you know, affect your plans at all?
No, not really. It would have been nice to get a little more live cuts in, but other than that, I think we're pretty well lined up for the postseason.
Well, your team will host Fort Dodge in a Class 4A Substate 2 quarterfinal on Friday at 7 p.m. You guys won 3 of the 4 meetings against the Dodgers this season, and all of those wins came by the mercy rule. But in the one game that you did lose, you had a 10-2 lead before Fort Dodge rallied for a 14-12 victory. You know, so they're obviously a team that if you get them down, you know, you need to put them away, don't you?
Yeah, you do. And the postseason, you know, Fort Dodge has a lot of seniors, some talented kids, and you never can look past the team, especially a team that has seniors on it that are playing for their last game. And you know, we'll have a couple days here to prepare and be ready for them.
Well, Easton Pratt got the win in 2 of your 3 victories against the Dodgers. He allowed 2 runs on 10 hits over 11 innings. So he's obviously had success against them. And I don't want you to give away your pitching plans unless you want to, but, you know, Easton has to be one of the guys that you're considering, you know, for the start, I would think.
Yeah, Easton's had a great series against them. I think Lincoln pitched very well in one of those games, too. So, we, like you said earlier, we have a lot of options we can go to, and we'll have all those guys available. With pitch counts, all those guys will be available.
When you get into the postseason, too, I mean, there's no tomorrow, so I mean, you may have to use several guys to get through a game, right?
you're right. We always think about that. Like, you know, we certainly have kind of planned out Monday who would pitch if we got past Fort Dodge, and then Wednesday who would pitch if we got past Ames or Mason City. But it's all hands on deck. You got to win one game before you get to the next. So we'll have everybody kind of ready and get their bullpens in this week and have all of them lined up.
Well, the other quarterfinal games in your sub-state have top-ranked Johnston facing Des Moines North, and Ames will host Mason City, and that's another matchup between Iowa Conference opponents. Now, I know you can never assume anything, but I'm going to go out on a limb and predict that Johnston's going to get past North. The Polar Bears have not won a game this season, and if they were to knock off the Dragons, that would probably be one of the biggest upsets, you know, we've ever seen in Iowa high school baseball. So a Johnston victory would advance the Dragons to next Wednesday's sub-state final. You know, that means if you guys defeat Fort Dodge, you would host the winner of the Ames-Mason City game in the semifinal on Monday. So how do you see the matchup between those two teams?
Well, I think they're pretty evenly matched. They both have a really good top-level pitcher. Ames has Amador, and Mason City has that Carter Thomas. And I'm sure that'll be the battle on the mound between those two teams. So I think Mason City swept them last week, I believe, and I think Ames might have swept them earlier in the mm-hmm. year. Or they split, maybe. I think they split early in the year. So, again, that's just kind of a coin toss between those two teams.
Well, assuming both of those guys pitch and they go deep into the game, you know, you wouldn't have to see them on Monday then, right?
We would hope, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you won 3 of the 4 games this season against Ames, and you swept your only doubleheader against Mason City in pretty convincing fashion. So, I mean, at least on paper, you'd have to like your chances there if you get to that game.
Well, I like our team, and I think right now they're playing at a really high level, both offensively, defensively, and pitching. You know, we're just going to take it one game at a time, obviously, and be prepared for Fort Dodge. And then we've got the weekend to get ready for another game if we're fortunate enough to be there.
Well, I know you guys can't afford to look past those first two games, but I did want to get your thoughts on Johnston, because that's the team that you're ultimately going to have to beat most likely in order to qualify for state. The Dragons were the state runner-up last year, and they won the title back in 2020, and they're currently 30-4. 2 of their 4 losses were to Southeast Polk, so that's one team that has had a little bit of success against them. Now, the Dragons have a pitcher in Jake Pemble, who threw a shutout against Ankeny in last year's state semifinals, but they also have a couple other guys in Carter Wollums and Caden Helsrud, who are a combined 13-0 on the season. So if you are able to reach the sub-state final against Johnston, you know, do you have a feel for which, you know, pitcher you maybe would see there?
Well, I think Pemble and Wollums are probably their top two, and I wouldn't know, you know, in what Michael Barta would be thinking, if he'd want to throw Pemble one game and Wollums the other game, or mm-hmm. if he'd want to bring back the guy that threw on Friday, he'd certainly be eligible to come back on Wednesday. So we'll kind of see, you know, we'll have scouts over there, obviously, and we'll kind of see what they're doing on Friday and be ready for either one if we're fortunate enough to be in that situation.
Well, Mark, it's certainly unfortunate that both your team and Johnston, 2 of the top 5 teams in Class 4A, are in the same sub-state. Now, I know when those sub-state assignments came out, you guys were unranked at the time, and it wasn't until the following week that you surged up into the rankings. You know, so do you wish the High School Athletic Association would wait a little longer to put the brackets out so that maybe, you know, that situation could be avoided?
Well, they certainly have my sympathy. I think they have a really, really difficult job because obviously the longer you wait, probably the more evenly you're going to get those districts distributed. But baseball doesn't post videos online like football and basketball do. So scouting comes in there too. So if they Sure. don't post anything till late, then you're stuck. Maybe not, especially if you go to a district, you're assigned in a district with teams that you haven't seen during the regular season. You'd be guessing or calling and trying to get information from other coaches. So I agree with them kind of posting the group of six maybe early enough mm-hmm. that people have a chance to scout, but obviously you can make a case either way.
Yeah, and I guess that they can't control those other things like, you know, you guys getting on that roll and surging into the rankings. I mean, you know, they don't know that's going to happen. So,
right,
yeah.
Right.
All right, Michael, thanks a lot for coming in. Looking forward to the postseason. Should be fun. I'll see you at the game on Friday night.
Well, thanks for having us, and thanks for all you do for sports here in Ankeny.
You bet. Well, my final guest today is a junior catcher for the Jaguars, and he has been one of the team's top hitters this season. He is batting .430 with two home runs, seven triples, six doubles, and 35 RBIs. He is Nick Severson. Nick, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Well, congratulations on a great season thus far. I don't know about you, but I feel like the season has gone by really fast. I was pretty tied up with the spring sports for a while, and by the time the state soccer tournaments ended, you know, your season is about half over. And, of course, you were tied up with with track for a while yourself before you could focus fully on baseball. Does it seem like the season has flown by for you?
Yeah, I think it has. We've practiced almost every single day besides Sundays, but a couple guys come in on Sundays and get work in, but it definitely doesn't feel like our regular season's over yet.
Well, Easton Miller was another track guy who was splitting his time between the two sports for a while. You know, do you think the fact that both of you were having to split your time may have contributed to the baseball team's slow start there a little bit?
I mean, I have faith in every one of our players, and I think it did hurt with me, Easton, and Cole Greider all being out with track for a few games, kind of hurt our team just not having us around to support our teammates. But I had every faith in our team, and we played Waukee, I think, who's ranked fourth. So, I mean, they weren't gimme wins, so.
Well, right. You guys also lost to Ankeny during that stretch. So, I mean, obviously the schedule has something to do with it.
Yep.
Well, one of the highlights of the season for you came early on in a game against Marshalltown on May 23rd. You went 4-for-4 and drove in three runs in the team's 15-0 victory, and all four of your hits were triples. And you know, that has to be some sort of a record. I don't know that I've ever heard of anybody doing that in a single game. You'd be tired after running all those bases, huh?
Yeah, it was definitely something I've never done before in my life, and that was pretty awesome. My second game back from track, and I do that. You can't really complain.
Well, you mentioned your teammate Cole Greider, and the two of you have been battling for the team lead in triples for a while, and he now leads the way with 11, which I'm guessing has to be a school record. I saw where Mason City's Carter Thomas just broke the state record with his 14th triple recently. You know, so for Cole to just be three off the new mark, you know, that's pretty impressive. He's having a great season, isn't he? And since he bats in the three hole just ahead of you, I mean, that helps you out quite a bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Me, Cole, and Kyle, and Easton, we're all kind of our top four, and then Damon's behind me, and we all just – seems like every at bat we're either hitting either one of us in or someone's getting a hit, and it's just really fun to watch.
Well, Cole is one of the three guys on the team with three home runs, so your squad obviously has some guys who can hit the ball out of the park, but as a team, you guys have 27 triples and 61 doubles, and it's really that ability to hit the ball on the gaps and run the bases that has been the key to the team's success at the plate, don't you think?
Yeah, we have a very fast team, and I mean, we're all aggressive enough that if we think we can get another base, we go for it.
Well, we talked with Coach about the depth of your pitching staff, and I wanted to get your thoughts on that as well. But first, I want to ask you about becoming the team's primary catcher this season. You've handled most of the catching duties, and you've even caught both games in many of the doubleheaders, I believe. How have you been able to handle that load, especially on some of those really hot nights?
I've been doing good. Our trainer's really nice with me. She always is bringing me Pedialyte and cold towels, and that definitely does wonders for me. It keeps me cool, and my coaches are really supportive. If I get too hot, I tell them, and they kind of give me a little bit more of a break. And then my pinch runner, obviously Jack, he's great. So I always get a break, and I've never felt too bad this year.
Well, except for those times when you don't want to come out for the courtesy runner, right?
Yeah, when I want to run, that's nice that I can stay in and run for myself sometimes.
Well, you were behind the plate on Saturday for Ian McGay's no-hitter against Sioux City North. So what was working for him that day?
I think every pitch was working. Any pitch I called, he threw, and it just – he was just throwing a gem, and I wasn't going to complain because he was doing his thing, and I wasn't going to stop him.
Well, Ian is just one of many talented pitchers on this staff. We talked about some of the guys with Coach and the great stats that they have compiled. So do you have to make very many adjustments, you know, from one pitcher to the next, or is that a pretty easy transition for you when a new pitcher comes into the game?
I think it's a pretty easy transition. I mean, all of our pitchers locate very well and throw, and then if they want to throw an 0-2 ball in the dirt, they have faith in me that I'll be able to block it. And we kind of just have that connection between all my pitchers, really. And it's just worked very well this year.
Well, you mentioned calling the pitches. So do you usually call all the pitches during a game?
Yep, I call every pitch.
Well, I know you told me after one game that Lincoln Lacy shook you off a few times, but that he ended up, you know, throwing the right pitch more often than not. But I guess the pitcher should know, you know, what pitch he has the most confidence in, right?
Yeah, I've been shaken off a few times this year, and it's worked. And, I mean, if that works, great. But, I mean, I have every faith in my pitcher, so if they shake me off, I normally know what pitch they want to throw, so I let them have it, and it works.
So do you have to spend a lot of time studying the hitters then so you know how to approach them?
I really don't. I mean, I kind of go into the game. My first time through, I kind of read the batters, and then from there on out, it's kind of just go mode, and you know what to throw.
Well, Nick, you guys are really on a roll there for a while during that 12-game winning streak. What do you think was the key to the team's turnaround during that stretch?
I think during that stretch, our whole team just had so much confidence, and it was just hit after hit, and we would have 13 hits in a game and then 15 the next game, and there was just nothing that could really stop us. We were all in a very good mood, and we just kept going, and we didn't look back.
Well, your team put itself into contention for the conference title until Thursday's doubleheader against Ankeny, and you had a huge night at the plate against the Hawks. You went 5-for-8 with a double and 5 RBIs. They just couldn't seem to get you out. But that was kind of a roller coaster night for you guys. You won that first game to end your losing streak against Ankeny, but then, of course, they had that big rally in the 7th to win the nightcap. Was that kind of a bitter pill to swallow in that second game?
It was, but a couple of those Ankeny guys are my buddies, and we were texting after the game, and, I mean, neither of us really had complaints. We were just – it was two good teams going up, and obviously the crowd had a big part of it, and it was fun in the moment, and I have no complaints. Those are two great games.
Well, you guys did get the split against Sioux City North on Saturday, and you've now won 14 of your last 17 games. Do you feel like your team is playing its best ball going into the postseason?
I think we are, yeah. We've been very hot. Come in and practice on game days kind of gets us in the mindset for that day of baseball and what we need to focus on and get done that day.
Well, do you feel good about the matchup coming up with Fort Dodge on Friday?
I do. Fort Dodge is a very good team. I think it's a team that you can't overlook, but I think we'll be ready.
Well, we talked with Coach about, you know, the different pitching options you guys have. So do you have as much confidence as he does in all the pitchers?
I do. I think we could basically throw anyone this coming Friday, and I think we'd be set.
Well, Nick, what was your reaction when you first saw your sub-state bracket? You know, you not only have three teams in your bracket from your conference that you've already played multiple times, but, of course, there's also number one Johnston, which means that, you know, two of the top five teams in the class are in the same sub-state. Do you feel like the CIML teams, you know, could have been split up a little differently, or are you okay with the draw that you guys got?
I think we're okay with the draw. Obviously, three of the five or six, whatever it is, are in our conference. So, I mean, that kind of gives us a little bit of an advantage. We've kind of seen them, all of them, four times, but I think we're excited to have Johnston in there and get to play them if that opportunity arises, but I think it's okay.
Well, if you are able to accomplish your goal and make it to state, you know, what would that mean to you personally to get there?
I think it'd mean a lot to me and my team with just how hard we've worked this year, and Centennial's never made the state tournament, so I think that'd be a really big thing for our school.
Well, if you are able to make it to state and you have to beat Johnston to get there, you know, you'd have to like your chances to do some damage to state, I would think. You know, don't you feel like it could be a pretty wide open state tournament?
Yeah, I don't think there's a team that can't beat anyone, including us. We can beat anyone. And, I mean, I think it's very fair this year. We played Dowling earlier in the year, and that was a great game. And I just think there's no team that we can't beat in the state right now.
Well, it should be a fun postseason. I'm looking forward to it. Hey, I'll see you at the game on Friday.
Sounds good. Thank you for having us.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. I want to thank my guests again for coming in today. We had Coldwell Banker Realtor Tom Butler, along with Ankeny Centennial Baseball Coach Mark High, and junior catcher Nick Severson. I appreciate the time from all of those folks. So come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.